You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
If you take a look around you right now, probably many of the objects you see are made of plastic, from your clothing to your cell phone to your radio. When the plastic revolution started in the 1950s, manufacturers were keen to extol its virtues. No one worried about what would happen to all those millions of products once we no longer needed them. More than 50 years later, all that plastic is still with us, much of it floating around in the oceans. Ian Conacher is the director of a new film that looks at our relationship with this most ubiquitous of materials. His film's called Addicted to Plastic, The Rise and Demise of a Modern Miracle. The film is showing this weekend at the Vancouver International Film Festival. And I'm joined now by Ian Conacher. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Lorraine.
Now, the film starts with a visit to something called a gyre in the North Pacific. What's a gyre?
A gyre is it's a weather system, basically. Ocean currents and atmosphere move things in the ocean in a cyclical manner. There's five gyres in the world, two in the Pacific, two in the Atlantic, one in the Indian. And it's also been called the dead calm, the doldrums. It's basically very calm, but because of the atmosphere and ocean currents, it pushes down in the ocean, creates a toilet bowl effect. So anything out in the ocean eventually ends up in these areas. And the one I've been to, the North Pacific Central Gyre, is about the size of Western Europe. It's also been called twice the size of Texas. And pretty much anything that goes into the ocean will end up out there if it floats.
So why was that the start of the film?
Well, I'd read an article in Natural History magazine by Charles Moore, who works for the Algalita Marine Research Foundation, and he had been going out to this area and sampling plastic, and he was comparing the amount of plastic by weight to the amount of plankton he finds in these trawls, and his findings were six times more plastic is occurring out in these areas than plankton, than food. And it was so shocking to me that I did a short story for Discovery Channel on it and said, if you ever go back out there, call me. And he did, and I took my whole year's vacation, spent a month on a 50-foot catamaran going 1,000 miles offshore and sampling this this garbage patch. But, you know, people have called it, everyone thinks it's a floating island of garbage that you can land on and walk, and I hate to disappoint everybody, it's not that. It's bucket lids and bottles and fishing nets and saran wrap, everything. But the more menacing part, and I found this by going in the water, was that sunlight and waves break up plastic into smaller bits, and then those bits begin to resemble fish eggs, shrimp for jellyfish, fish, birds. And so it enters the food chain. And on top of that, not only are some plastics have nasty chemicals in them, but plastics absorb oils. So all the herbicides and pesticides that are in the ocean get absorbed by that plastic. So all those little bits are now poison pills, again, incorporated into the food chain.
Scary.
Yeah.
Now, you interview people from a number of different companies who make plastic into different things like composite railway ties, something called fluff that you can use as a growing medium. And you call this downcycling. What does that mean?
Well, you know, we've always been told that plastic is infinitely recyclable. And it makes sense in my mind, you know, that little numbers on the bottom of your bottles can tell you, and you think that your PET water bottle is going to be turned into another PET water bottle. And the cycle could just go on, so you wouldn't have to make any new plastics, just continue to recycle it. But we're turning bottles into park benches, or a whole mess of different plastics into railroad ties was one I covered. These were people kind of picking up the slack from recyclers, trying to make something useful out of this waste material. But there's a massive disconnect between the people that manufacture the products and the people that have to deal with them at the end of the day. There's very little producer responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of triggers in my mind that little recycling symbol that you have, that you see on all the products that you get, and there's sort of numbers from 1 to 7, but not all of them really recycle.
No, actually, only 1 and 2 are recycled, mainly on this side of the pond. And also, color is a factor. I mean, let's take a water bottle, for example. The top could be PVC. The bottle's PET. If it's blue, then it has other chemicals in it. The wrapper may be another type of plastic. So when that goes into the recycling chain, the end user looks at it and goes, what can I do with this? Because it has to be a virgin feed to make a new bottle. So it's got PVC, and it's got all these different types of plastic and colors that screw up the whole batch. So you can't do anything with it other than make park benches and chairs and plastic lumber.
Wow. understand that some companies do something called upcycling. How would that contrast with this?
Well, in my film, Addicted to Plastic, there's a couple examples. One is Patagonia. They take things like office chairs and shower curtains and actually make clothing out of the plastic. So that sounds like an added benefit. Plus, at the end of the day, they'll take back their clothing and recycle it into new clothing. I mean, it's pretty high-end clothing, so I don't know who's going to give it back. But it's still a start, a nice example of where we can go with this.
Now, understand that some small towns in India attempted to respond to the problem of plastic bags which were clogging their sewers and killing their cows. What happened there?
Well, India actually recycles quite a bit. They reuse everything. Unfortunately, powers that be are trying to promote a disposable lifestyle now in India. Walmart's coming in. They're tearing down storefront stores to put in malls. They want people to go to malls, and packaging is on the increase. So you go to a landfill, which I went to in Delhi and a number of other places in India, and it's mountains of bags and plastic forks and wrapping that the poorest of the poor sift through and try to recycle it, try to sell it, try to organize it in some way. So basically the recycling infrastructure is on the backs of the poorest of the poor who live in the dump for literally a dollar a day and are exposed to some nasty chemicals.
When I'm seeing this, I'm kind of picturing in my mind the kind of ubiquitousness of plastic and how it might break down, but it never disappears. It's almost like we've grown up as the plastic people, you know. It's sort of like plastic is so much a part of our life that you can't extricate it, and it involves a whole kind of mindset around plastic, which is plastic disposable.
Right. And again, I got to repeat that my film Addicted to Plastic does not vilify plastic. I mean, I've spoken about a lot of the depressing facts about plastic here, but my film wants to promote solutions. We need this material. It makes cars lighter, keeps our food safe, makes modern medicine possible. I mean, we cannot live without this material. We cannot go back. We just have to start using it a lot more responsibly than we are and forget the notion of throwing something away, because there is no away when it comes to plastic or landfills. I mean, nothing goes away in a landfill. We all know that.
Mm. Now, it's not all the film's not, as you say, all about garbage. There's some health concerns with plastic. What are those?
Yeah, well, the big one in the news is BPA, bisphenol A, and Health Canada has banned that in certain applications, baby bottles in particular, and that's polycarbonate. It's the main building block in polycarbonate, which is the number 7 plastic, but that's a gray area too, because number 7 means other, so it incorporates a lot of different plastics, and it's a synthetic estrogen that's used to make it, and it's been shown to leach out of bottles and cause everything from obesity to cancers, learning disabilities, goes on and on. And the scary thing is we all have it in our bodies. All of us do. And the way we get it is not necessarily through baby bottles, but through bathing. Because all of this, none of it's recycled. It all goes to landfill and eventually will break down and leach out, get in our groundwater. There's no way of detecting BPA in our water system nor removing it. And it does absorb through the skin. So when we bathe, it gets into us. Mm.
Yeah. Now, you end the film on a positive note, which is kind of a remarkable thing given the scope of the problem. What made you feel hopeful?
Just how many people are dedicated to trying to make a difference in this battle against plastic disposability, whether it's individuals making purses and handbags out of plastic bags in India, companies taking it upon themselves to show responsibility, governments, there are some Nordic governments that are really recycling properly, scientists developing bioplastics out of waste materials, people that devote their weekends to cleaning up beaches and remote communities. I mean, there's so many good stories out there. And I think what this film tried to do is just start the debate. Let's start talking about the problems of how we're dealing with these materials in our lives. And once we know about the problems, it's hard to ignore them, and let's focus on the solutions and move forward.
Well, it sounds like a really good film to see, and so we'll point people to the theaters so that they can check it out for themselves.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. I've been speaking with Ian Conacher, and they produced the film Addicted to Plastic, The Rise and Demise of a Modern Miracle, and it's showing at the Granville 7 tonight at 9:30 and tomorrow at 4:30. You can also catch it Thursday at the Van City Theater at 9:30.